Let me invite you to turn with me to Psalm 84. The book of Psalms and number 84. We read the whole psalm. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shoot, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. The title of our sermon this morning is A Longing for the Courts of God. A Longing for the Courts of God. And by the courts of God, we mean a place where we have an encounter with God as we meet him in worship. It can be at a personal level when we are in devotional meditation upon the Word of God and in prayer. It could be at a corporate level in our congregation worship, when we come to church, just as we are doing this morning. My interest is in longing for the courts of God as depicted in our corporate worship in church. And my objectives are threefold. Firstly, I want to motivate you to love the house of God, to love this place. Secondly, I want to motivate you to find your higher satisfaction in the house of God. And thirdly, and this is where it's all leading, I want to motivate you to love to come to church always. Now, it's not my intention to just produce some kind of feel-good factor here. I address a very serious problem in our church life. And this problem is this, that a number of us, a number of our friends, who are not enthusiastic about church. And we find this revealed in three categories. There is one category which just loves to miss church. They are not regular in attendance. They are often missing church. Of course, we know that some of our friends do miss church because of some providential circumstances. And we know that for this, when they miss church, their thoughts are here. They are wondering what's happening here. And they are longing for the first opportunity to be given to them, whereby they will be found even among us. And yet, unfortunately, there are so many of us who miss church, who are missing church today for no very good reason. And maybe they are not even confident enough to disclose the reasons why they are missing church. Well, the second category are people who come regularly. They come regularly for a morning service, but they find the idea of two services rather too much. It's too much to come in the morning and to come in the afternoon or evening. They are happy with one service because there are other things, more interesting perhaps, that they would rather be doing with that time of an afternoon or evening service. And the third category, the last category, and this I think is a very sizable number. It's a number that would often come regularly or perhaps sometimes, but there is no spark. There is no radiance. There is no expectation. When they come to the house of God, the body language, so to speak, will tell the whole story. They are here as if they are regretting to be in the house of God. And this is very sad. This is very sad. The house of God, dear friends, is meant to be for our greatest benefit. It's meant for our enjoyment of God. And here, the soul comes at rest, expecting to be recharged, as it were, and sent back into the world to have an impact there. So this is the problem that I'm addressing this morning, and I would like to bring Psalm 84 for our meditation in addressing this concern. It is a psalm written by the sons of Korah, and like most of the psalms, 25 of them in the book of Psalms, written by this group of people, it radiates and justifies the longing for the house of God. Read through it, you see a radiation and a justification for longing to be in the house of God. Three things I would like us to see. Firstly, a longing for the cause of God characterized. In other words, how does it look like? Number two, a longing for the cause of God. Its motivation. What moves one to long for the cause of God? Number three, a longing for the cause of God. Its blessedness. Are there benefits in longing and in being in the house of God as a diligent worshiper of the Lord? Well, these are the three things that we'd like to address this morning. We begin with the first, a longing for the cause of God characterized. Addressing the question, what does longing for the cause of God look like? What does the longing for the cause of God look like? And Put differently, how is it expressed in the psalm by the sons of Korah, the psalm before us, where we see three pictures painted for us in verse 2 and verse 5, as well as verse 10. I'm sure there are other pictures, but I would like to pick out these three. Now, in verse 2, this longing is indeed expressed as a very deep longing, a fainting, as it were. There is an overwhelming dominance of the desire to be in the house of God, such that nothing else is important. This is the highest priority. Verse 2, my soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. In fact, the New King James Version translates that second part of verse 2 as, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And so here, dear friends, we have the mind, we have the emotions, we have the body, all conspiring together in the quest, in the desire to be in the house of God. Now, this is a picture that is, comes out in another psalm of the sons of Korah, Psalm 42, and one of our songs this morning, there have been allusions to it. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before you? My soul thirsts for God, just as a deer pants for the waters. It's a longing for the courts of God, like a deer that is thirsty, like a deer that is panting for the water, like a deer with an unquenchable thirst until it comes before God, in the house of God, the courts of the living God. So that's longing. That's one picture of longing for the courts of God. Another picture is in verse 5. Very interesting. Very interesting. Those that long for the courts of God are said to have highways to Zion in their hearts. They have highways to Zion in their hearts. Now, I don't know how you came this morning. If you came from the eastern direction of the city, Avondale, Chelston, and those places, along that place, you used perhaps a great east road, turned into Addis Ababa to this place, turned into Tabombeki to this place. If you came from some other places, Kafue Road, you used another highway to this place. Highways. And perhaps as you were coming, you had to struggle with traffic. You were even getting impatient. You wished there was just a highway where there is nothing else on this highway leading to the house of God. Well, that's at a physical level. Now, at the level of the heart, you know, this picture is depicting the motions in the heart, pulling one, as it were, to the house of God. You want to be in the house of God, and you are being pulled to the house of God. And you don't want clutters. You don't want potholes of sin to be in the heart, as to diminish that flame and that desire to be in the house of God. You do not want detours to worldliness, as it were, attractions of the world, so that your attention is distracted concerning the house of God. You do not want roadblocks, a dead heart, as it were, that is insensitive to a desire for God, a desire for the house of God. You want a highway that leads to the house of God. And you must get there and get there speedily so that you engage in the worship of the living God. That's the second picture. Well, the third picture, dear friends, concerns, it's longing expressed in to a clear resolve to be in the house of God. And this is what we find in verse 10, the second part. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. A clear resolve to be in the house of God. To be content even to do the meanest, the smallest thing concerning the house of God than to be somewhere else. And, you know, by tents of wickedness, I think these should be seen as you know, the attractions of the world, of the world, the allures of the world that so often sniff out that desire and that flame for the house of God. And perhaps these are our jobs or our businesses. We would rather be clinching deals than to be in the house of God. It could be things within our families, legitimate things, but things that are left to paint until Sunday. And on Sunday, that's when we find time to attend to these things. Well, it could be some entertainment, a movie, watching a game. There are so many people who miss church afternoon services because they would rather be watching something, some movie, some soccer match. Well, resolve with the writer of this psalm to rather be a doorkeeper in the house of your God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. So those are the pictures of longing for the courts of God. Does it describe you? Do you identify yourself with a fainting, yearning heart for the house of God. If by providential circumstances you were to miss church, is your heart and mind inquiring as to what is happening here? What is the sermon about? What were the songs which were sung? Did the choir sing this morning? How did it look like? Was that person who sits in that chair present this morning? Oh, how I have missed to be in the house of God. How I wish I could be there. Oh, dear friends, how one wishes that this is indeed true of each one of us. May we be found to have such a yearning even for God. Well, let's go to the second main point this morning, which is the longing for the cause of God, its motive or motives. What are the incentives? What moves the writer here to long even for the cause of God? Again, we see some glimpses of this in verses 1 and verse 3, verse 4 and verse 10. Now, very quickly, we go through those verses. Firstly, the writer says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts." It's a lovely place. It's a lovely place. Well, it could be lovely because of its physical structures, but that's not the main point. It's a lovely place because it's the dwelling place of God, the Lord of hosts, the Almighty God. Now, you know, the picture that you get is that of Revelation chapter 20, chapters 4 and 5. Revelation chapter 4 and 5, where John is ushered in the spirit to the courts of God in heaven. And what does he see? He sees God sitting on the throne in all his majesty and beauty and glory. He sees the 24 elders in worship. He sees the seraphim and the cherubim, those mighty angels, in worship. He sees myriads and myriads of angels all coming together in those beautiful songs that are recorded in those two chapters, engaged in worship. This is something, a little tiny, something of what is taking place in heaven that this son of Korah paints for us here. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. Do you find this place a lovely place? Are you convinced in your heart that God has appointed this place to be his dwelling place? A place, a special place, where he invites his children to come, to look at his beauty, to look at his glory, to look at his majesty, and indeed to have them unite their hearts and lift them up, as it were, in worship, in praise, in adoration of the living God. Do you? Well, if you have this picture of the house of God, Certainly, you will always want to be in the house of God. Unfortunately, most of us do not have that picture. Most of us just come. This is just another place. And, you know, we have a habit of being in this place. So any little thing that happens, any little attraction out there will make us indeed go aside and go to those things rather than to be in the house of God. But the other motivating or the other moving thing for this writer is what we see in verse 3. And I will title that as depicting the house of God as a welcoming place. A welcoming place. There is warmth in the house of God. I don't know whether you had sense of that this morning. When you came, if you came a few minutes before the service, you sat down. Did you sense the warmth, the welcoming warmth of the house of God? Did that radiate through this place? The sense of God enjoying our presence, our being here, a sense of God delighting in us being here. Now, the writer, you know, puts this metaphorically in this verse 3. He says, even the sparrow and the swallow, they find sanctuary in the house of God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Now, this is something that I have seen when I visit what I may call village churches. You know, not with these kind of structures. You know, grass thatched churches. No, you might be there and you are singing. Everyone is worshiping the Lord. And yet, lo and behold, you hear a very beautiful voice joining. It's a bird that is singing. And you look up into the roof and you see this bird, you know, cluttering around and perhaps with a twig in its mouth, making a nest. What is it doing here? A bird in the house of God? It feels so comfortable, so at ease. It's making a home in the house of God. And, you know, the writer here is envious of these small birds that they can make their nests at the altar or by the altar. So they feel comfortable. They feel welcome. And he wants to enjoy that warm, radiating welcome in the house of God. And for us, of course, God welcomes us. He is pleased for us to be here. So we desire to come. We also meet our brothers and our sisters here. And, you know, we have this sense of great fellowship to be in the house of God. So we are motivated to come into the house of God. I hope, dear friend, I hope you have that sense of the welcoming presence of God here. Well, verse 4 is really another factor pulling, making highways in the hearts of this worshiper. He says, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. And this is really the expectation to be part of the worship of God, the worship of the great God. He does not come as a bystander, as it were, sitting at some corner of this church. He does not come to pass time. He does not come to fulfill a long-standing habit or simply a ritual. He comes with the expectation to sing songs of Zion, to join others and worship the Lord God, his God. Now, dear friend, he considers himself indeed as very privileged, very honored to be in the house of God, because he knows to whom he's coming. It's not a duty. It's a privilege that being invited to some great place, maybe the White House, being invited and being part of whatever procession is being there. You are not looking at the benefits for you yourself being there, but just the honor and the privilege of being in the house of God. Well, I hope you felt very privileged to be here this morning. If coming to God's sanctuary is not a privilege, it will be easy for you to miss church. And when you come 15 minutes late. You quickly sit down, and the first thing you do is to look at your watch, timing exactly when this whole thing will be over, so that you could go and do some other business. You are not expecting to join into the worship of God. Well, let's move very quickly to the third aspect, and we'll do so rather very quickly. And this is longing for the courts of God, its blessedness. What are the benefits? Are there advantages in spending all this time in the house of God again and again and again? I think this is an important question, because a lot of people are tempted to miss church in pursuit of all sorts of benefits out there. Well, for the author of this psalm, he leaves us in no doubt that there are great blessings, great benefits for loving to be in the house of God. And he has told us in verse 10 that for him to be in the courts of God is better one day in God's courts is better than 1,000 days elsewhere. You can even say 1,000 years elsewhere. One day. How do we interpret that? The benefits of being in the house of God far outweigh the benefits that you can gather for yourself in 1,000 days or 1,000 years elsewhere. And you know, we are being given a two-faced impossibility here. We are being told that you can spend 1,000 years elsewhere. You will not gather for yourself the benefits that you will be able to get spending one day in the courts of God. That's one. Two, we being given a situation, an impossible situation, because you can't live for 1,000 years. You can't live for 1,000 years. So you can't even begin to compare what you can gather for yourself out there compared to what you gather for yourself in being a diligent worshiper of God on a Sunday morning such as this. And what are these benefits? What are these benefits? Let's list them. Verse 11. He says, the Lord is a son of his worshippers. For the Lord God is a son and a shield. He is a son for these diligent worshippers. In other words, it shines in their hearts. It shines in their lives. It shines happiness into there. And the wrathful concerning the worship of God, they miss church. They come dragging their feet, thinking that they will get happiness somewhere else in the things that they will be doing. Well, lo and behold, they regret because there is no happiness such as you are able to get in the house of God. He is the son of his worshippers. Well, secondly, he is their shield. In other words, he is their protector. If you are a diligent worshipper this morning, God is your protector. Know that. And, you know, coming and loving the house of God is a matter of faith. We don't have time to go into all that. You know, sometimes you miss church because you want to gather some wealth for yourself and for your family so as to secure the future of your family. But God is the protector, is the real sanctuary, is the true security for you and for your family. And he wants you to love him and to love his house. Well, number three, we are taught that he bestows favor and honor on them. They are the favored ones. They are the honored ones. They are the special ones. If you are a regular worshiper, just know this fact. God favors you, bestows upon you his favor and his honor. His generosity is expressed towards you. And you will experience these things. Well, number four, we are told no good things does he withhold from them. I think we have made this point. No good thing will God withhold from you. He who gave you Jesus Christ His only begotten Son will not withhold anything else. It's of less importance to God. He has given you the ultimate. And anything else is not important. He will give freely. He will bestow upon you generously. You will receive bountifully. Indeed, there is great benefit, dear friends. There are blessings in coming to the house of God. This is not, of course, what occupies your mind when you're coming. You just want to worship God. But there are some takeaways. Whenever you come, God gives you something to go back with, because indeed he favors even you. Well, let's close. Many other things we can say. Many things I have, but let me just close with four statements. And the first is this, that God is in search of diligent worshipers. God is searching for diligent worshipers. There are so many people who indeed put themselves out as though they are worshipers of God. They come to the house of God, and yet their hearts are not ready to worship God. They do not find it attractive to be in the house of God, so they can miss any time. But God is searching for diligent worshipers. And the challenge I want to leave with you this morning is that you will resolve to be that diligent worshiper, and you long for the house of God. Well, the second statement is to assure you again that when you make such a resolution, you will not be disappointed. God will shower upon you blessing after blessing. We cannot describe these blessings, but there are blessings, there are benefits that God will give you. Number three is that it is such diligent worshipers that have an impact on society, that have an impact on their institutions, that will have an impact on their families, that will have an impact on the church. Slothful worshippers, indeed, who have no impact. Perhaps they are at the high table with the wicked, compromising, engaged in corruption, doing all sorts of things. Only the true worshippers, diligent worshippers, those that long for the house of God, those who want to be here all the time, indeed, will have an impact. Well, let me just address that lady sitting there, married. If you see your husband begin to drag his feet going to church, do not encourage him. Do not give him more reason for missing church. Because trouble is at the corner. That man will have no impact on the family. That man indeed may just bring trouble for you. Even marriage may be at risk. So encourage him. Come with him. Come with your children and worship the living God. Well, number four is to encourage all of us to be in or to be concerned about recruiting worship us for God. Oh, for a thousand times to see our great Redeemer's praise. May this be our desire. May we go out proclaiming the gospel. May we go about indeed supporting missions. May we pray fervently that God may open the windows of heaven and shower upon us with blessings after blessing as we see men and women, boys and girls indeed turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, the courts of God, the house of God is inviting you. May you resolve this morning to be regular at our worship services. Amen.